Right, y'all come on in.
We are going to do Q&A day. Today we're actually talking, we're going to have some announcements in the very beginning. Let me get up my notes. We're going to have some announcements in the very beginning, and then we're going to be talking all about some future self stuff. That is probably my all-time favorite topic when it comes to coaching. When I was back in the day when I got certified, it was an 8-day in-person retreat. And the very last day, we got to sit with a coach who was already certified, and she guided, well, you got your own person, and then they guided you through a future self letter. And I had spent that entire week getting coached on Logan and getting coached on Chris and getting coached on, was I going to, what was I going to do with my business? Back in the day, the way we had, like, I think when I got certified, we might have had 100 members. I mean, and they were very loyal and stuff. They'd been with me for years. From most of them had been with me since 2007, and this is like 2015. And we were more like a, I don't know, a weight loss posse. We were a gang. So when I sat with her, she's my coach to this day. I hired her about 6 years ago to start working with me privately, but writing my future self letter was probably one of the most powerful exercises I've ever done when it comes to figuring out my life. It was one of the first times that I ever sat and actually thought about consciously, where do I think I'm going to be in 25 years? And what are, like, if I could, like, the way that we did the letter was I was asking my future self, like, what is life like? And it was just question after question, like, what's life like in your marriage? And what is life like in your business? And like, what are you like when you have a hard day? Like, how are you handling it? Because in my mind, my future self, she had her shit together. Like, she just, like, I almost had her on a pedestal, honestly. And my letter, oh my gosh, if one of the things when I think about it that I hope all of you know is that we are best guessing at our future. I mean, that is really all we're doing. And we are, as humans, so short-sighted, and we undervalue ourselves, and we don't ever, ever, I think, scratch our potential hardly. And when I think about the things that I put in my future self letter, I thought it was going to take me 25 years for so much of that stuff to happen. And a lot of it happened in like 4. If I don't teach you anything and no BS, I hope it's always that you have this one thought, which is, whatever I think, there's a high likelihood that I'm going to be wrong about it. It's probably going to be better than I think. It's not going to be as hard as I think. Our brains are so designed to make everything a shit show and to make everything harder and make everything scary. Anything that's going to be new or whatever, our brain is just designed to, it's not supposed to even, like, give us the happy path there. It is supposed to cause doubts and fears and questioning and all kinds of stuff on purpose, so that you're not putting yourself into positions where you could potentially get harmed. But the problem with our brain is that when it does that, it also keeps us from doing a lot of things that we totally could do that is absolutely possible. Just to break it down into the micro, I cannot tell you how many people I coach who say this: well, if I stop at enough at dinner, I'm probably going to be starving and not be able to go to sleep. So every night they overeat just so they might not have to feel hungry later. Because in their mind, if they were to eat later, that means they couldn't lose weight. And if they ate later, that they would be bad. And if they got hungry, like, there's no way I could eat if I got slightly hungry. I'd have to, I'm probably going to be chewing my pet as they walk by. Their brain has created such a fantastical story around hunger in a couple of hours that they spend years of their life eating at night too much food for fear of trying one night to just see what happens, to see if everything they imagine is true. Especially the way that I teach y'all to wait for hunger. It's like, I'm just like, well, when's the last time you tried it? And they'll often say, well, the last time I tried it, I was on like some bullshit diet. Usually it's always, I was on a bullshit diet where they starved me and I was legit binging at night because I was doing a diet that caused me to binge at night because it vastly under restricted me. It cut out foods I absolutely needed. They didn't teach me about like why I was eating, if it wasn't hunger, if maybe it was my emotional stuff. Like I was doing something that didn't really, like I should have probably ate. And so I'm like, all right, what if we try it with us where you're eating to enough? We're not even counting calories. And where I tell you every single time, if you actually are physically hungry, if it's not enough, we just eat. But let's just see what happens. The worst that happens is you eat something. You were going to eat it anyway at dinner. But maybe you're wrong. Maybe now you eat enough. Maybe now your body doesn't like feel panicked for food. Maybe now we're working on so much of your life where you don't feel like you have to eat later on. Maybe now all you gotta do is just break the habit of wanting something, but you're not emotionally attached to it anymore. You just have to feel the slight discomfort of like, it would be like saying, you know how like if you have a colonoscopy, you can't eat for a day? It's not fun. But most of us get through it just fine. We don't love it. We don't enjoy it and stuff, but we know like it's not a big deal. We're going to be able to eat again. So we're not anxious. We're not like, oh my God, like because I got a colonoscopy, I'm going to be binging tonight. Like we don't do that because we sit and we look at it through like a, this probably won't be that bad. I'm going to be a little hungry. That is like, our brains are just so wrong about so much. They're wrong about little things. And they're damn sure wrong about our future. And so, one of the reasons why I like for y'all to do future self work is because when we do future self work, we give ourselves a chance to think about our future in a new way versus what most of us are doing. We're not consciously thinking about our future, so we are unconsciously thinking about it. And our unconscious thoughts are, you're a failure. You can't have what you want. This is all you get. You should be grateful for what you have. You're too old. You should have done that a long time ago. Your brain has a story about your future. Future self work is where we start taking control over the reins and we say, like, you know what? I don't think the story is good enough anymore. If my future is going to be different, that means I've got to at least envision a different future now. Now, some of us, we love daydreaming and some of us hate daydreaming. The people who love daydreaming, I think it's great. But the problem you always have is if you are a big time daydreamer, a lot of times you fail on the execution of your dreams. So we're going to talk a little bit about that today. On the other side, we have people who hate to daydream. And most of them, the reason why they don't like going to the future is because they're immediately going to be triggered to think, you can't have that. It goes against their complete belief system. So thinking about the future is scary, doesn't feel good, and so we choose not to. The problem for you is that if you don't think about a future that's different than the one you have now, then your brain doesn't know how to take you to a new one. Your brain is just like, oh, we're supposed to be recreating exactly what you have every single day. So now I need to only find problems. I only need to find triggers. Like I'm only going to look for the stuff that will keep you the same. So my hack for both of you is if you are a future-focused person who loves to think about the future, but you don't do dick when it comes to taking action, you don't just think about the future. You have to take each little thing that you think you're going to be like in the future and you map one at a time. Like, okay, if my future self weighs 140 pounds and you currently weigh 250, then What is like, what all is she doing? She is having a bad day, but she doesn't eat. So if she doesn't eat, why? What is it that, like, when she has a really bad day, like I have now, when her boss is yelling at her, when her kids are acting the fool and whatnot, what is she telling herself that's different than what I tell myself now? Like, what is she doing that's so different? And then we have to baby step now and thinking, like, okay, how could me at 240 pounds do a version of this? Like, what is the very ver the very ver the version one of this life? That's how we start. Now, if that is why, like, for those of you who love to dream, you've got to put down, like, you've got to give yourself stepping stones to get there. You got to know, like, all right, then that means, like, today, here are little things that I've got to do different. And I'll give you some examples in a minute. If you are afraid to dream of the future, what I normally do is I say, then let's go to the short-term future. Let's just think about what you would like your life to be like in just 1 month from now. We don't have to go to, 3 years from now, 5 years from now, a year from now. Sometimes it's just too much if you're not used to dreaming. But maybe if we break it down to in 1 month, in 30 days, here's like three tiny changes I would have liked to have made happen in my life. Maybe like change one would be I would like to have water with me at all times. I'm not a great water drinker. So instead of hoping that I drink water every day, I'm gonna like get a bottle that I like that will reward me a little bit. I will make sure it's just with me at all times. Whether I'm drinking it or not this month, if I spend the month with my water bottle and I just get into the habit of keeping it full and with me, odds are by month two, it will be a lot easier to start setting number of ounces goals, how many of these bottles I'm going to drink. And you'll probably spend the month accidentally, like if I've got water sitting right here. I'm thirsty right now, so I'm gonna take a sip. Now, if I wasn't someone who kept water with me all the time, guess what? I would be thirsty right now and I would just ignore it. And then in an hour, when I'm done with y'all, I may or may not go get some water. I may or may not still be thirsty. So just setting yourself up for little things. If in 30 days you think I would really like to be someone who knows when a binge is coming on, then you would start with, okay, what are the little things that I can do this month? Well, the first thing I could do is just sit down with a piece of paper and map out, here are things I know I've thought in the past. Here are situations that I have binged over, and here are foods I normally gravitate towards. So if I know all that, then this month I could pay more attention to when these things happen. So I could tell myself in that moment, hey, this is kind of when a cycle tends to kick off. Just be aware of that. If there's anything you want to do different, because sometimes these things trigger binges and sometimes they don't. So, like when we think about our future self, the most important thing is like one is having the ability to be able to think about her. Number two is dream about her life. Like allow yourself just the pleasure of think of like really describing what her life might be like. And then three, make sure you include the negative stuff. One of the biggest mistakes I've always done with my future self work is putting future self on a pedestal as if she's better than me, instead of we're just really good friends. And she's given me advice, but she's not better than me. She just has certain areas of her life figured out, and she's here to help me. But when you put your future self on a pedestal and you pretend that her life is perfect, you do yourself a disservice. Because your future self doesn't have a perfect life. No one does. And one of the things that destroys future self work is when you only think about her life as always being perfect. She's finally got all of her shit together. She does it all right. She's not having bad days. She just glides through and never overeats over anything. Like nothing bad ever happens to her. Then the second you are becoming your future self and something bad happens, you think things aren't working. So if you allow yourself to do your future self work with two sides of the coin, which is this is her life and it's amazing. And look at all these great things that she's doing and whatnot. She's worked so hard for them. Here's all the stuff she did to get there. And then also, it's like, and when she has a really shitty day, when someone, like, is somebody still commenting on her body? Because I will just tell you, I don't care how much weight you lose, your body's never going to be perfect. It's never going to be good enough for everybody. No matter what you look like, somebody's got an opinion about it. So if she's hearing negative comments about her body, what is she doing different? Is she consoling herself, unlike the version of you now who gets shamed and eats over it or starts hiding over it? Or does she console herself? Does she say something? Does she just let it roll off her back? Does she spend a little time telling herself, I hate that we live in a world where a woman's body is up for debate? What does she do? So let's talk a little bit about it. I'm going to end with announcements today. So if my team is wondering, when are announcements happening? They're happening at the end. Because I want to teach all this. All right. So future you is just you today who's already taken the first little steps. So one of the things that we talked about is we're going to look and see, like, what is our future self doing? And then what we want to do is we want to think about reverse engineering. I love reverse engineering everything. So if I have like a big project or a big goal or something, I like to think backward. I was like, all right, what has to happen to get there? And a lot of times it's hard for me to do it sequentially in order. So for me, I think about, all right before that happened, what was I doing? And before that, what needed to happen? And before that, and before that. That's just reverse engineering. Some people do it this way. They think about, all right, in order for that to happen, here's everything I possibly could think of that needs to happen. And then they look at all that and say, like, okay, of all these things, which ones probably need to come first, middle, and last? So you just kind of start parsing them out so that, oh, let me make sure my Zoom person's up. So you just start parsing them out. And then within those categories, then what you do is you put them in, like, all right, so if this is the group of things I think come in the beginning, then you take those only and you look at them and say, like, okay, of all the things that probably come in the earlier stages, which one of those things do I think is probably going to be one of the first things to do? And you just keep asking yourself the same damn question until you finally land on one that you're like, you know what? This is probably where I should start. That is, to me, the easiest way to figure it out. So you can do it by downloading everything you think is going to have happen. I like to kind of do it that way sometimes. It's easier for me to do it that way. Then you group it into threes. It's like first, middle, last. And then you just go to the first. And all I do is I look at the first few things and I think, like, all right, what is the first things that probably need to happen out of that group? And that's where I start. I don't even worry about the rest of it. I've already written it down. Because once you get into motion with it, guess what usually happens? It becomes very organic and natural to know what the next thing to do is. Once you start doing something, it's a lot easier to figure out what needs to happen next. When you sit back and think you got to have it all lined out perfectly, you almost never get started. It's too much. Then the final way to do it is to just do it in sequential order. So sometimes we reverse engineer, sometimes we do it all and break it down into little steps. And then for some of us, we're just very lineal, like linear thinkers. Like, I have some people on my team who think more this way. It's like they're just going to make a long list, and their brain knows, like, the first thing I got to do is this. And so once I do that, I know this has got to happen. Then this, then this, then this, then this, then this. It's easy for them to think in that kind of order. Here's the key, though. Not a single one of them is the right way. Not a single one. It's really based on your comfort level. It's like you just listen to the three types, and whichever one says, I think that sounds more like me, I'll try it that way. Try it and see what happens. And if you don't like it, you got two more fucking ways to try. But you have to become someone who takes action and tries. All right. So you can ask, when you're thinking about your future self, here are some of the things that you can ask yourself. What is my future self thinking on a day-to-day basis? I think that's a very important question. I do that a lot. I like to ask myself, like, when I have big goals, like if I want to get back into running, for some reason, I have got the itch again. I don't know why I get the itch, but I get the itch every now and then to start running again. I'm kind of getting it. And I think my knees are saying, please don't get the itch. My hips are going, I agree with your knees. That sounds like a terrible idea to run, but I'm kind of getting the itch. And so I have to think about, all right, if I was going to be someone who ran 3 days a week for 30 to 40 minutes at a clip, what would I need to be thinking that I don't think now? And like one of the things I need to be thinking is, it doesn't matter how fast you go. Because for me, one of the reasons why I end up quitting all the time is I start thinking I should be able to run faster. And that demoralizes me. That makes me feel bad. It makes me run too fast and too hard in the beginning. And that's when my hips and knees start going, bad idea. I think this sucks. So I have to think about what are the little things I would need to think that's different. Another thing that you can ask is, what does my future self most want to feel? And I don't know about y'all, but a lot of times our answer is happy. And when I think about right now, my immediate future self, like for the next year, there's a mix of feelings. One is safe. Safety is a big word for me this year. I'm really working on safety this year. I have no reason to feel as unsafe as I do, and yet I feel so unsafe. So I've got some work to do on that. Another thing that I want to feel this next year is energized. I have been really working on like my hormones. I get the testosterone pellets shot in the ass every 3 months. Just got another load the other day. I've been working on reducing my drinking to almost none. I have been working on making sure I'm taking my vitamins every day. Like I've really been working on a lot of things. Now I want to emotionally feel energized next year, which is going to require me to be thinking about my work in a different way. Because I'll be real honest, I don't have much of a life, and y'all are my life, and I love y'all. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, I love y'all. But this next year, I want to really enjoy my work. I don't want to feel like it was the last 2 years, which is like always under pressure to get things done and worrying to get my stuff done. I don't want that next year. I want to really teach myself how to get back to working because I'm like, God, you're so good at doing this. And you're like, you're the best person to write this stuff. And I'm learning. And like, I just want that energy back. And that is on me to create. The another question that you can do is, what is some of her habits? So this is where we start looking at, like, what are the habits of your future self? And so, like, for me, if I want to be feeling energetic next year, one of my habits has got to be putting that fucking phone down at night. Like, once it gets 7 o'clock, my phone really needs to be put away. I tend to try to watch TV while also watching Instagram the whole time. I love, like, love, love, love following UT Vols. I bet I follow 50 different UT Vol accounts. And if I'm not watching that, I'm watching Orange Cat videos. And if I'm not watching that, I'm watching makeup tutorials like it was nobody's business. And comedy. I follow a lot of comedians. And I can get lost in that. But the problem for me is it is a habit that I don't talk to Chris as much. I miss out on our shows. He falls asleep and I just lay there and scroll for like I can scroll for hours if I'm not careful. So I need to look at that habit. So For you, what I want you to do is I want you to think about, what does my future self think about on a day-to-day basis? I guarantee you, all of your future selves are not sitting there worrying about what they're going to eat. I want you to think about this. The version of you who loses her weight and keeps it off doesn't worry about food. She's methodical. She's like, you know what? I plan my food most days so that all my energy bases are covered, so that my busy days I'm well taken care of. I make sure to plan plenty of fun things, pleasurable foods, and stuff like that, because I don't ever want to worry about this stuff. Like, that's what she's thinking. She's also not thinking that food just tastes so good and then eats. She's usually thinking, I'm so glad I eat tasty food. I'm so glad that I get to have food like this often. Like, that's the difference. She might for a moment notice that the food tastes good, but she's not sitting there going like, oh my God, this tastes so good. I'm going to keep eating. She's not thinking that anymore. She's thinking, oh my God, this tastes so good. I'm so grateful that I'm finally learning how to eat. Like, well, she's already learned. I'm so grateful to myself for all the times that I planned this food and all the times that I stopped when it was hard so that I could show myself I get it often now. I don't have to worry about it being taken away. She probably thinks about, like, when she looks at her favorite foods, she doesn't think like, well, those are my sometimes foods. She probably thinks like, oh, that's just part of like normal, having a normal food life. Like, this is what we have to think about. You have to really think about, what are those little things that you think now that your future self is like to you feels so true? And so, like, you're just like, no, this is how we're supposed to think about food. It's like, not really. If you asked your future self who's lost her weight, is she micromanaging? Is she worrying? Is she keeping it all together because she's like, is she able to keep her weight off because she really knows how to drive up anxiety, perfectionism, and stress around food? She's just got that on lock now. No. She stopped doing all of that stuff. So what are the little things that you've got to think, feel, and do now to stop doing the things that one day she no longer worries about? And she lost weight because of it. The next thing is to be her in the future. You today have to get a little bit out of your comfort zone. Just a little. Now, I want to warn y'all. A lot of times y'all are like, I just got to feel the discomfort. Stop saying that. Stop saying, I've got to be uncomfortable. I've never met a single woman who tells me that, and that sentence makes them feel good. It's almost always a nail in the coffin of actually improving. Who, like, just think about our brains, wants to sit around and think, I just got to feel uncomfortable. Like, no, this is what I would be telling myself. I'm going to try this. It's just going to feel different. I'm going to see how it feels. Like, think about how much different it feels rather than, well, I'm going to have to stop eating it enough and just deal with my discomfort. What feeling comes up for you when I say that? I'm going to have to stop it enough and just feel the discomfort. Type in the chat, please. What fucking feelings come up? Somebody give me an answer. I know we're on a delay, so I'm looking. Defeat. Hang on. Regret, resentment, scared, resentment, womp, womp, inadequate, oh hell no, dread, impatience. Exactly. And yet, when y'all come on my calls, what's the first thing y'all say? I'm just gonna have to feel uncomfortable. It's like, why would you want to think that? So let's just make a deal. If you're listening to this, tonight at dinner, I want you to stop it enough. And instead of thinking, I'm going to feel the discomfort, just say to yourself, I'm going to stop it enough tonight, and I just want to see what it feels like. I'm willing to be surprised. Maybe it's not as bad as I think. And then create some safety. If it's horrible, I can always eat a few more bites. You're doing it anyway. You might as well start, like, just notice that even if you did it anyway, and you just were like, I just want to see how it feels. And every night, if you were just trying to see, like, well, I wonder today, I wonder how it's going to feel today. Maybe I've listened to enough of Korean shit to where today it ain't going to be that bad. Maybe it won't be like it was yesterday. How do you feel when we think about it that way? How does it, like, when we're just thinking, like, well, I don't know, let's just see what happens. Curious. What if we just said, well, if I don't like it, can always eat a little bit more. I'd rather you do it intentionally than doing it unintentionally, because when you do it intentionally, you can learn. When you're doing it unintentionally, we don't learn anything. So we want to make sure that we're not saying that sentence. And then we want to make sure that we, when we are going to start doing something, all right, when we're talking about this kind of like, I'm going to get out of my comfort zone a little bit, but that doesn't mean I'm going into the hard ass zone. What I always like to tell myself is anytime I do something new, it's going to feel different. Just like if right now, if like I needed to make a note and I'm like, you know what, I'm just going to do it with my left hand. It's going to feel weird and stuff. I'm not gonna like it because it's all different and I'm not used to it. But I'm not like so far, like I'm like, I'm just gonna have to suffer the discomfort. Notice how like it's like we wouldn't say that about things like that. If you had to let's say they're replacing my front door on my house, and I was gonna have to start coming downstairs to the basement and going out the back door, you would never hear me say, oh my God, I'm going to have to suffer the discomfort. I'm going to have to figure out how to be uncomfortable with this. I would feel uncomfortable, but I wouldn't, because I'm not making it a big deal, it won't feel like a huge deal. Only time it would feel like a deal is if every time I went to the front door and wanted to use it and noticed I had to go downstairs, they're like, oh God, when are they going to be done? I hate this. I got to take all these extra steps. I hate going downstairs. If I did all that bitching and moaning, guess what? Using the back door would be a big deal. If I cut that bullshit out, using the back door will not be that big a deal. And that is what I'm asking y'all to do very often when it comes to weight loss, is I just want you to use the back door. And y'all are making it as if I've thrown you into an isolation prison ward somewhere for 30 days. And that's how we're going to lose weight. So, make sure that what you do is you talk to yourself when we're going to make changes in a way where you're not amping up, because I guarantee you, your future self does not make changes in her life and freak out over them. I want you to ask yourself, your future self who's lost all of her weight. Most of us imagine our future self when she loses our weight. It's like, oh my God, she's so confident. She's finally going after her dreams. She's doing all the things. Well, yeah, because she's not freaking out. She's only doing that stuff because she's not sitting there making small changes seem like she's pulling her fingernails off one at a time. So you will feel a little discomfort. But I want you to like actually think about like it's only a little discomfort. It's not super uncomfortable, and I don't have to get used to even feeling that way all the time, because odds are most of the stuff I try are not going to be as bad as I imagine. Odds are that after I do it for a few days, I will start getting so used to it, it won't even be uncomfortable anymore. Talk to yourself like that. That's how future self talks to herself. So, let me give you an example of like when we were talking about stepping stones. I'm like giving yourself like, if my future self is doing this, then today's self starts here. Because you can't start where she's at. She evolved. Everybody repeat after me. We evolve into our future self. We do not think about what future self is doing and say, like, okay, future self does this. Today, I got to do everything future self does on a dime in order to get there. We evolve into future self. So, let's say future self naturally stops eating at enough. She's not having to think about it all the time. Who in this group would love, love, love to be that version of her future self? She just knows naturally when to stop. All right. Step one is you've got to get comfortable asking yourself, have I had enough? So the first thing you have to do to become future self is not stop it enough. Like to become someone who naturally does that, the very first step is I gotta be the kind of person who, when she's eating, always asks. Whether she follows her commands or not, I at least got to be asking. Because if she's naturally going to one day do it, that means I have to intentionally ask today until she's trained over time her brain to say, like, oh, a part of eating is at a certain point you think, have I had enough yet? We have to train our brain to want to naturally and automatically do that, and the cue will be you're eating. And until that gets established, we have to do that on purpose. It has nothing to do with whether or not you follow through. So, in order to become someone who asks themselves that, guess what? You might want to be someone who has triggers. You might want to be someone who's like, oh, every time I eat, I set an alarm on my phone, like my son does. When my son has, he eats by a timer. So he takes one bite of food every minute. Don't ask me why he does this. It's something that Logan wanted to do for himself a long time ago. And so he has a little alarm that just goes off every minute on repeat. And he knows that's when he takes his next bite. He says it helps him with his digestion. So you might want to be somebody who does that. You might want to be someone who's like, all right, from now on, when I make my plate, I always make my plate with like a visible line down the middle. I know when I'm at the halfway point. And that's where I always ask myself, have I had enough? Doesn't mean I eat half my food. It just means it's an easy place for me to stop so I can train my brain how to ask the question. Now, step two is usually you do blow past enough. We eat, you know, like you might say, like, well, I asked the question, have I had enough? No, it tastes so good. No, everybody else is still eating. No, my plate's not cleaned. No, I just don't want to stop. No, this is the only time I get to relax. Notice how just answering the question and getting a no, now we have like five or six things you could take to ask coaches to work on. Simply by asking the question, which means one day future self will naturally be asking the question and she will have resolved all of this stuff. And it will be a lot easier for her to say, like, you know what? I think I have. Because I don't have to clean my plate anymore. You know, I think I have. I'll let everybody else keep enjoying their meal and I'm going to enjoy talking to them. Future self has become to that point. And then sometimes part of figuring out you're enough, who naturally is asking, who's naturally stopping at enough, is one of the things is when you overeat, you do a discovery worksheet. You overeat, you do a discovery worksheet. Then step four becomes, I overeat, I do a discovery worksheet. And I'm like, you know what? I noticed I've done the same tired ass discovery worksheet 322 times. So now another step for me will be every time I do a discovery worksheet, I take it to ask coaches. I'm going to just keep working on discovery worksheets with ask coaches till I get this thing solved. I'm going to raise my hand on the next coaching session, whatever you need to. I'm going to go to Facebook and talk about this. Like, I am determined to solve it. Another step could be asking yourself, have you have enough? You realize you have, and you push the plate away and you don't want to. And you're like, you know what? I think I'm ready to, like, I've noticed that I've been asking, have I had enough? And said, you know what? Physically, yes. Emotionally, no. You know what I'm going to do? I think today I'm just going to see what it's like to not eat, put my plate away. Even though I know I emotionally want more food, I just want to see how long I still want the food. I wonder if it'll be 5 minutes, 30 minutes, 10 minutes. I wonder if in an hour I'm going to realize I really didn't have enough. I just wonder what might happen. That could be another step. All of this stuff, these are little steps to take. Every one of them. That's how you get to future self. You think about who is she? What is she doing? Like, her life is like this. Me today. What am I going to need to do to start taking steps toward her? And then the last thing I would do is I would ask my future self at the end. So, like, do the whole thing and then ask your future self if you could give me your best advice to become you, what would you tell me to start with? What is something you see me doing right now that I totally could change and it would be so helpful? Ask her. Your future self has so much wisdom. She is in you, whether you want to believe it or not. We all have this inside of us. It's just some of us are going to ask and some of us are going to be too afraid to ask. If the worst that can happen in your life is, I don't want to ask because she might tell me all the things I need to do, then I'd have to go do it. No, you don't. You can always ask the questions and you never have to go after it. But you owe it to yourself to at least know what it is you dream about, what it is that you want. That's what I would encourage all of you to do. All right, let's see if we, I know we have one question in here. I wanted this to be the year that I lost my weight. I had 25 pounds to go. I made great progress until June. Then I gained a bunch of weight over a 2 week vacation, and I've been struggling to lose it since. Now I'm ending the year 1.5 pounds higher than my beginning of the weight this year. I've never felt so disappointed. So now when I think 2025 will be the year I lose my weight, my brain says, you didn't do it this year. How's next year going to be different? So you need to answer the question. And it's really simple, Emily. The only thing that has to happen differently next year is that when you go on vacation, and you come back home and have gained weight, you just get right back on plan and say, like, weight that comes on fast is going to come off in probably 2 to 3 weeks. Usually, like vacation weight, if it takes 2 weeks, I always tell myself, if I go on a 2 week vacation and I gain weight, say I gain like 14 pounds. I had one vacation, Chris and I went to Vegas. This was like 20, maybe 10. I don't remember what year it was. It was probably like 2010, somewhere in that range. And we played poker all week. We never went outside. I didn't work out at all. I played like 12 to 18 hour sessions. We ate in the poker room, which meant we were eating fish and chips, hot fudge sundaes, grilled cheese sandwiches and fries. I think that was all we ate, actually. Think that might have been all we ate. But we ate like around the clock. I gained like 7 pounds in 1 week. And I came home and I said, all right, so if I gain 7 in 1 week, then it's probably going to take me 2, 2.5 weeks for that weight to come off. That's all right. All I told myself, I was like, we do not need to be ashamed. We had a good time and we know what to do. Because it is true, Emily. When you went on vacation and you came back, you knew what you needed to do. But the reason why you didn't do it was because you spent so much time thinking you fucked up. If you spend a lot of time thinking you fucked up, we got to solve for you being a fuck up. We got to be like, we're working on self-esteem now and shit like that. Rather than just being like, I didn't fuck up. I went on vacation. I ate food. Vacation's over. I'm just going to restart the habits I have not when I left. And here's the other thing that you can tell yourself that for this next year is if you did it once, you obviously know how to do it. And the second time is always easier because you don't have to learn things from the ground up. A lot of y'all always think the next time is going to be harder. The next time is always easier when it comes to brain power. Because you established habits. You have the neurons already laid down in your brain. So when you start doing those things again, your brain doesn't have to lay down the new habits. Once a habit is formed, y'all, the brain doesn't get rid of it. I want you to think about this. How many of you will lose a lot of weight and then you will, I don't know, like say you go on a vacation and you just eat foods you're normally not eating and stuff, and it feels like you're just eating like you always did all of a sudden. Even if you had spent months and years eating in a new way, that is because the neurons are laid down tracks. So if a bad habit can come back fast, guess what the fuck can happen to the good habits too? They work exactly the same, except y'all don't think about it like that. You think bad habits come back faster and stronger. They don't come back any faster or stronger. Because I want you to think about this. When you start going into vacation and fuck it mode, you probably have a lot of little things that you say, like, are you sure you want to eat that? I don't know. We haven't been eating that. I don't know. We might gain weight. Like, your brain is offering up a lot of, like, I don't know about this. Are you sure? That is going to be the same thing. It's going to just work in reverse. That when you start the good habits, your brain's going to be like, I don't know. I mean, we've been eating ding dongs every night. It's been a pretty fucking good time. Are you sure? Because your brain is just trying to protect a habit. But once you've laid tracks down, Emily, which you did last year, nobody can lose. I don't know how much you said. Yeah, 25 pounds to go. No one can lose an X amount of pounds without laying tracks down. It's impossible. You're somehow defeating the way, like physiology. So you have good tracks laid down. You just need to start doing them. That's all you got to do. That's it. And so, like, when your brain wants to doubt it, like, well, you didn't even do it last year. It's like, no, I did do it last year. I was well on my way last year. And the only thing that stopped me from losing weight last year was when I went on vacation and I gained some weight, I treated myself like an asshole. Instead of just weighing in and being like, all right, I had a damn good time. Now it's just time to start my habits back up. We're gonna get on track. The first thing I'm gonna focus on is putting these things back into place. When if you had kept cool and neutral, then we would have had no problems. So the lesson for 2025 is I'm going to be someone that loses weight for the rest of my life, which means, hang on, my hair went wild, which means if I'm going to be someone who loses weight for the rest of my life, I'm going to be going on vacation for the rest of my life. So now I've got to figure out how do I go on vacations, eat foods I love and do what I want, and come home and get back on track. Because the future self version of me, that's what she does. That's the lesson of 2024. I've learned so much in OBS and have so many good habits, but I feel like I never gain enough traction to move ahead. I am in unintentional maintenance. So there's nothing called unintentional maintenance. We call it that a little bit, but I want you to tell yourself it's very intentional. Unintentional maintenance makes it sound like you have no choice in the matter, right? I don't think it's helping you. You are in very intentional maintenance, and I want you to do this. For future me, if I don't lose weight, I at least want to be healthier by being stronger. I would never tell myself that. I would never tell myself, even if I don't lose weight, I just want to be healthier and stronger, unless that's all you really want. Otherwise, you put your brain to work only on that. Your brain will just keep saying, you know what? It's okay. I mean, you are in unintentional maintenance, and I mean, you said you really didn't want to lose weight. So let's just eat this little extra thing. You need to tell yourself, I want to be. Just tell yourself the truth. I do want to lose my weight. I do want to be stronger. I do want to be healthier. And to do that, here's what I'm going to start doing. You're talking about your maintenance so lovely that you're sexy talking yourself right into it. This is the thing. You don't have to beat yourself up over it, though. A lot of us will like talk about like, I'm in unintentional maintenance and blah, 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 because you fear that you're going to have to be an asshole to yourself to get off your ass. You do not have to be an asshole to yourself, but you got to be honest. You got to be saying, like, here's all the things that I'm actually consciously doing that keeps me in maintenance. And here are the things I'm going to need to do to get weight loss started again. And which one of these things do I want to start with? Because I really want to lose weight, be healthier, and stronger. Now, if you really don't care if you don't lose weight, you wouldn't even be asking me this, right? We wouldn't have a problem. You'd just be like, you know what? I'm just on the path to getting healthier and stronger. And if I lose weight, great. If not, I'm happy with where I'm at. That's like unintentional maintenance. So just be, don't be afraid to tell yourself the truth. Okay. I am going to, a lot of these other questions. Well, let me get Kara. Carolyn, will you take yours to ask coaches? Like they can help you figure out a goal range. Let's do that over there. Because I would have to ask you a bunch of questions to do that. Or Mish can help you right now in Q&A while we finish up. I've gained 30 pounds this year and I don't understand why. I have data, but I'm wondering if maybe my data isn't accurate. Am I being too easy on myself in making in marking if I truly stopped at enough? If you gained 30 pounds, there's no way you're stopping at enough. There's zero way. I want you to think about it. Gaining 30 pounds would mean your body's getting more food than it actually needs. You may be, let me read the rest of it. I think I overthink my hunger and enough, and that is causing me trouble and having accurate data, trying to figure out how to deal with what I need to do to start seeing the scale go down. Kara, here's a good question for you. If I told you right now that you could only eat half the food that you normally do, what comes up for you? Half. For 2 weeks. Because 30 pounds in a year, barring you having a medical condition, and I'm just assuming we're not dealing with a medical condition. 30 pounds, let me hang on my calculator. I've got to reset it. 30 pounds divided by 52 is a half a pound gained every week. Times. Say 17, 15. Yeah, you're probably there's two places this could be happening. You could be like not finding all the little bites, licks, and tastes that you're taking. Are you taking extra bites anywhere? I would look at that. I would really look to see, do you have meals right now that you are eating that are habit meals? Like maybe you're planning a snack every day and eating it and you're not truly hungry. You just want to eat it, but you're telling yourself you're hungry. You're coming up with reasons to eat. I would look at bites, licks, and tastes. And I would look at, like, for your hunger, I would do a test over a week. Is I would let's do the enough test. Don't worry about the hunger test. Just making sure you're actually hungry before you eat is the big thing. And then but for the enough, I want you to serve yourself half of everything you normally eat. And then if you are still hungry after 15 minutes, you can have more. But I want you to really put a test to it. So, like, let's say you have a snack, you have a protein bar. You open it, you're going to crack it in half, and you're going to put half back in the pantry or wherever, and you're going to eat half a protein bar. If you're eating breakfast, you normally eat 2 pieces of toast with 2 eggs and 2 pieces of bacon. You're now going to eat one, and one. Just try it to see what happens. Sometimes when this is happening, we just need to test because if you're saying I've gained 30 pounds in a year and I don't know why my data is saying I'm stopping enough, I am assuming you're not having overeats also, Kara. Now, this is all on the basis of you are telling me I tracked for a year. I had zero overeats. Like there was no fuck it moments. There was like every single week. Like if you looked at me, Corinne, I am just eating. We start there. Now, you do not need to cut out half your food if you are thinking you're stopping at enough, but 2 to 3 days a week, you're having some kind of victory meal where you know you're overeating or you're putting yourself to bed with food or whatever. If that's the case, your data is staring you in the face and saying you need to work on overeats because stopping at enough is never going to outpace your overeats. It is the same thing as like what we try to do, like especially in our earlier ages. If you are, let's say you are on counting calories, you can count your calories every single day of the week. If Monday through Thursday, you eat right in that calorie range, and then Friday and or Sunday through Thursday, and then Friday and Saturday, you're blowing your calorie range because you're like eating like a jackass everywhere you go, or eating whatever you want. It won't matter that most days of the week, your percentages would look good for being in your calorie range. I want you to think about this. If 5 out of 7 days and you were in your calories, that's a pretty good percentage. But that's where, like, sometimes the percentage is not going to give you everything you need to know. Just because your percentages are working out, if you're still not losing weight, y'all, you got to dig into your data. That's more like, then what's really going on here? So when I have a day where I don't stop it enough, is it like I ate 2 extra bites or did I eat 4 extra slices of pizza because it was pizza night and everybody else was having it and I washed it down with a glass of wine? So that's where I have to dig in. Okay, I gotta do the announcements and then we gotta get out of here. All right, let me get to the announcements. All right, so this is exciting things that are coming up. I wanna make sure that we got them out to you. We are going to also, I'll drop it in the quick hits and all that kind of stuff so you won't miss out. Number one, do not forget that our workshop is on December 29th. It's gonna be from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And we will be having new people there. So there will all of you get the workshop included in your membership. This is our big kickoff that we do every single year. It's an amazing day. It's a great way to start off 2025. We will also have people who paid for this workshop. They will be there with you. So they had to pay to come. So always remember, they do not know how great No BS is. They are just sitting there nervous, scared as hell, and wondering, like, what the fuck is this all about? I'm so terrified I can't lose weight in 2025. They have not been here, so they don't have all that. So while they're here, just make them feel welcome and help them settle their little nerves because some of them are going to become members and some of them won't. And that's okay. I just wanted everybody to have a great start to 2025, including y'all. So just remember, if they're a little nervous or they're worried or they're putting their womp womps in the chat, we're going to love them hard because them poor ladies, they don't know how good it can be. And they're going to find out on December 29th, along with all of you. You will have a workbook that goes along with it. This is a traditional half-day workshop, very exciting, all the things. And all of that stuff will be on your website and we will send you emails. You will not miss it. The second big thing that's getting ready to happen is we are changing how we do accountability groups. So we have been listening to all the people that for the last few years that have been coming through the accountability process that we have it as of now. And we wanted to fine-tune the system so that it worked better for everyone. So we, like me and MJ and a few of us on the team, we really sat down and we thought through what would help people the best when it comes to accountability groups and partners. And what we found is that it's really hard for us to match you up with someone that is going to know you well. We have tried 1,000 different variations, and what worked in the past, which I can't believe we're gonna like, this is just what always happens. What worked in the past is probably the best method we ever used. And the best method we ever used was designed by our own members. And that is, if you want an accountability partner, you post in the Facebook group and you say, this is who I am. This is what I'm looking for. These are my needs. And what ends up happening is people who are like you naturally find you. It's just hard for us to ask enough questions to figure out how to put people together. And so we wanted to just make it a much simpler process because we know how hard it is to ask for a partner. The other piece that's really good about it is we also couldn't keep track of how many groups were needing extra people. And so now, when the accountability matching up is happening in the Facebook group, if you're a group and you want to add one more 55 plus person, or you want to add this person who's now like saying, like, I'm a runner or I'm starting to lift weights, and your group kind of wants something like that, now you'll be able to have that. So it'll be a lot better for all of the face, like if it's happening in Facebook, you can match up better. The things, yes, it is like matchmaking, Darlene. The other positives are now what we're going to do on the accountability page is we are giving you what's called an if-then statement. So if your accountability doesn't group doesn't work out, then do these things. If this happens, then do these things. So we're going to give y'all some of that. And the last exciting part of it is we have what was the other thing? I just wrote this the other day. We're giving you like a little guide on like just some best practices for setting up your group. So there'll just be some information on there. I mean, not a guide. We're giving you a script on what to post in the Facebook group. So run your groups however you want. We are still going to be all about pushing y'all to get into accountability groups and have partners. Just now, I want y'all to do the setup for yourselves because you know yourself better. You know what you're looking for. And I want to make sure that accountability groups that might need, they want to grow their circle, that they're also getting the benefit. We used to do it that way for years, and we've tried it a different way for about 2 to 3 years. And I just think the way that we did it for probably 7 years running works best. You live and learn. All right. If you are on the wait list for an accountability group, Dina is still going to be getting those things. She will contact you, but we do not have that many people. So, no, Nancy, you will still get in a group. This is the reason why it takes so long, Nancy, is like you requested on December 2nd, and we're trying to figure out like we only get so many requests. And then if you have certain things, we're just waiting to see if anybody requests that. That's why they can take so long. It will go 50 times faster when y'all are doing it yourselves in the Facebook group. This was like one of those problems we kept running up against is that we could only put groups together as fast as we had people requesting. And so now all of that's going to change and it'll be so good. Also, if you go to that page, Nancy, there's a script. Like we were giving everybody, like, if you don't know what to say to ask for a group, all you got to do is use the script, post it in the Facebook group. That's it. And then for all of our members, please make sure when somebody posts that if you know anybody that might want to do that, or you know of people who might be a good fit or whatever, that you tag them in those posts. Okay. The next exciting thing, Corinne 365 is coming. Corinne 365 will drop on January the 15th. You do not have to do anything to get it. Your current Quick Hits podcast is going to get a brand new graphic. You'll know when it starts when you see everything change. You don't have to sign up. You don't have to download anything. All you got to do is put your earbuds in, and every single day, you're going to start getting a 10-minute or less motivational moment from me. I am actively recording them now. And I wanted to give y'all, like, so many people kept saying, if I just had Corinne in my ear every single day, I think this would help. So, what I want to do is give you either motivation or small tactic or something every single day. And the nice thing is you don't have to listen in order. Anything you pick on any day, you don't get behind at all. Will help you at some point. The old quick hits will still be there. We're not taking them away. All we're going to do is change the art. And starting on January 15th, you won't have to wait for Tuesdays and Thursdays anymore. Every single day, you're getting me. Now, for the last change that's coming, other than just getting a whole brand new Nobius? I know we're changing a lot of things at one time, but I wanted to make sure that y'all had everything you needed in 2025 to succeed in weight loss. Is these Wednesday calls, the number one request that we get for these Wednesday calls is, how do we get more MJ? Why can't we have more MJ? MJ is so much like you. In fact, I think MJ is more fiery than I am these days. So here's what we're changing. I'm going to be with you every day inside of Kryn 365. You are now going to have Wednesdays with MJ, and it is going to go back to pure ass Q&A, not teaching and having to learn more stuff. So you will be getting me on Sundays, as always, for coaching. You will have me every single day in 10 minutes or less, kicking your ass and telling you something that you can do to lose weight. And then on Wednesdays, you will have MJ answering all the questions so that you do not have to sit and think, I can't get my questions answered. You have Facebook to get questions answered. You have the Wednesday call to get like ha live interaction and to chat with people in real time. You also get Ask Coaches, which is by far the most valuable thing that we have in all of No BS, is the ability to go and speak with a coach back and forth on your shit. No other weight loss company is really doing that at the level that we're doing it. So we have the workshop kicking everything off. Immediately after that workshop, we will start the new No BS, which is the best version of all time. We will be doing Kryn 365 as of January 15th so that every single day you're motivated and you will have MJ doing Q&A because y'all want you some MJ. Y'all don't want me. No, just kidding. You're gonna have plenty of me every day, but we want to make sure that you get some MJ too. All right, y'all. That is it for the day. Will the format of Sunday calls be changing? No, they're gonna be coaching. Coaching, coaching, coaching. They're just going to be coaching. Yes, we have done a lot of work to pull all this stuff together. We've been working on this for months now. Everybody says they love Sundays will not be teaching. I'm going to be doing coaching. The teaching will be every like when you get those Kryn 365s, it will be a mix of mini lessons, like little micro lessons. It will be a mix. It'll be a lot like what we do on Wednesdays, but I'm trying to get it down into 10 minutes or less. Most people don't have the time to listen to a lot of long calls, so we're trying to make sure that you have courses. For those of you who like to dive really deep, the Kryn 365, for those of you who want to hear from me each day and you want me to teach you something and you want me to flip the switch on a thought and that kind of stuff, then you have the long coaching session on Sundays where it's just the coaching, which is to me is one of the most important pieces. And there will be other coaching calls like we have now. So you'll still have the coaching calls with Kathy on nervous system stuff. And we have other things releasing later in the year that are, you're going to see a lot of our coaching calls. You'll see more and more of them happening at night and at different times on topical things that are getting in the way of women's ability to be able to lose weight. So we'll be doing all of that. All right. I'm still going to be on the Sundays. Don't worry. Y'all know I love me doing my Sundays. There is a new, can we have the new planner before January? I think everything is releasing on the 29th. I believe that is when everything releases. In fact, this morning I was approving the final version of the new planner. So that's one reason why it's not up yet, is because I was still putting notes and all that kind of stuff in there. Vicky, write in and tell us why. I just keep seeing one comment, but I don't really see why. If you can tell us that. And then, or you can just tell me here. I'm just curious why you're disappointed. Maybe I can help. In fact, I'll stay on a couple of extra minutes. Oh, I liked you on Wednesday. You're gonna love MJ on Wednesday. She cusses more than I do, Vicky. And that is hard to do. Let us all be honest. What time is the 365? Will we get a notice and a link? You won't have to have any of that. If you've got the quick hits now downloaded in your podcast player, just on January 15th, they're going to start dropping every single morning. If I had to guess, we'll pick a time. We're going to auto schedule them. So they'll probably around 6, 7 a.m. in the morning. We usually drop things early. How will the accountability groups get set up on WhatsApp? You will set them up yourselves. So if y'all decide you want to do WhatsApp, if you decide you want to do Marco Polo, you'll just set them up yourselves. Glad to have more MJ. Let's see. This is the first time I've lost this much weight, and the longest I've kept it off so far. I'm currently sitting at my smallest I've ever been as an adult, but I'm terrified of gaining my weight back. While going through my closet and getting rid of stuff, I hear myself say, "You're going to need these later." Also, that's a very normal thought. I would just let myself say, like, "That's only because I'm afraid I'm going to gain my weight," and I'm working on building safety around that. It is very normal to be afraid you're going to regain your weight. Like, that's not a problem. Like, I want you to tell yourself, it's not a problem that I'm afraid of it. The only problem is if you don't address the fears. If you just keep letting it be scary, then now you're just allowing yourself to be scared all the time, which means that you could end up overeating. So, what we want to do is we want to start reassuring ourselves. This is why this time is different. Whitney, you would do really, really well. How am I going to prevent myself from sabotaging myself? You're not going to sabotage yourself, Whitney. You're not going to do that. What you're going to do is you are going to say the best way to address fear is to ask myself, what am I so afraid of? And do I really need to be afraid of that? So a lot of times what we do is we're afraid of things that we don't even question if we need to be afraid. Like if you are in the habit of planning your food each day and you are in the habit of checking in and no BS and you are in the habit of those things, you can tell yourself, I don't have to be afraid of regaining my weight because if I notice I'm overeating, I know now what to do. I used to not know what to do. Now I know what to do. Now I have resources to reach out to. So you really just want to go through and you just want to like use the fear as like, oh, I just now, this is the part of weight loss I've never done. I've never done the part where when you're in maintenance, you have to become someone different. You have to become someone who reassures themselves as to why they're not going to regain the weight, not someone who tries to keep the weight off by being afraid. You have to become someone who lets the clothes go with courage instead of holding on to them in fear. Like we have to start doing courageous things. So make sure you take the maintenance course, Whitney. I think that will help a lot too. All right. Y'all, the Wednesday ones, even though like Wednesdays are not like going away. It's just going to be MJ doing them, and there will be a lot of teaching because we'll be getting questions like Whitney just asked. We'll be getting questions like Emily asked about the vacation weight and stuff. There will be plenty of lessons to be learned. And we always give y'all stuff every month. You're still going to get challenges every month. You're getting a whole brand new No BS course in January. We're doing a self-love 5 pounds down type challenge in February for everybody with some self-love challenges and trackers and all kinds of cool things. I forget what we're doing in March, but we have things that we're doing. Trust me, it's all about to get better. That's all you need to be thinking about. And it won't be long. And it's normal for everybody to be like, oh my God, a couple of things are changing in like 3 weeks. Y'all will be used to the new thing. It's just like when we get used to stopping at enough. It's like the first couple of times it's going to feel weird because it's done different. And then after that, you're going to find the things about it that you love. It's just like when you first start stopping enough, it's like awful and weird and all the things, right? Then if you go a few weeks and you're not bloated after meals and you are sleeping a little better, and your clothes tend to fit better, and all that kind of stuff. You start realizing, like, I love stopping at enough. Whereas there was a version of you that was like, oh my God, like stopping at enough is terrible. And then eventually you're just like one of those disciples of stopping at enough. And you're trying to tell everybody about how what a glorious life it is. It'll be the same thing. All right, we got to get out of here. Y'all, enjoy yourselves. I will see y'all on Sunday. Got some coaching to do on Sunday. Bring your shit. We'll be ready to go. Bye, y'all.